on Monday.
Right.
When the pads come on.
Right.
When the fun starts.
Yeah.
The reality is it gets a lot faster. A lot faster, because the D-line and O-line aren't really protecting. They're still protecting one another, but they're not operating at the speed they are now. It becomes much more violent. It becomes much faster. The reads for the back end is a lot cleaner. The receivers getting involved in the run game and the violence in that regard. So everything picks up. And then on top of it, you're adding, I think it'll be the fifth install at that point. So the mental load along with the pads and the new stimulus and the speed. Usually the first couple of days are always a big dud of pads because you're expecting fireworks, but there's a lot on these guys' plate starting Monday.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast live training camp edition. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me as always, the managing editor of TitanSize.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, Justin Mello. Titans just wrapped up their first practice in pads. Robert Saleh speaking now. You heard him at the top of the show speaking Friday about what that first practice in pads would be like. They just wrapped up that practice. The offense was on fire, making play after play, explosive after explosive. Cam Ward did throw two interceptions, but we'll talk about that as well. Justin, how's it going?
I'm doing well. First padded practice in the books Monday morning in Nashville, and it was by all accounts a very lively practice. You know, you and I weren't on here to recount Saturday's session, which was the last one without pads, the first one open to the fan base, but in all honesty, didn't sound like a whole lot of excitement. This one today, this Monday practice, first one with pads on, were elite practice by all accounts.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we'll run through basically the play-by-play of what happened when Cam... We don't know which players are speaking. We know there are players speaking after practice. Robert Saleh is literally speaking right now. If Cam Ward comes to the podium, we'll play that live. We think he is the one guy who's important enough to get that audio into the show live. But anyone else who speaks, we may recap that tomorrow. Audible Army is loading themselves into this live stream right now. If you're here, thanks for joining us. Don't forget to like the stream, subscribe to the channel, get involved in the live chat, throw your questions in. We're going to go as long as my job today will allow us to go. If that is not that long, then maybe Justin will stay on and answer some more questions when I'm gone. If it is as long as we hope it'll be, then maybe we won't need to do that. But Justin, by all accounts, the offense was on fire in this practice. Cam Ward had it probably his best day so far of training camp, which is pretty encouraging from an offense viewpoint. Not as encouraging, obviously, if you're judging the defense, but we don't need to judge the defense right now. First day in pads for the offense to be so on fire is obviously a huge win for them, because we know, you know, the intensity ramps up. The defensive line can actually strike the tackles without having to worry about not injuring their teammates. There's real tackling involved, although we're not sure how intense the real tackling side is. The cornerbacks can press the receivers, and everyone's in pads, so the intensity ratchets up. Here's a tweet from Nick Suss. Cam Ward's stats from first day in pads, 10 of 14, two interceptions. We'll get to that. One throwaway, really feasted over the middle for better and worse. Thought it was his most encouraging day because he was actually slinging it, testing his arm in this offense. Not perfect, but looked good to my eye. We can get to the interceptions in a second, Justin. They both came on similar scramble drill throwback across his body towards the middle of the field type of plays, and we can break down why that doesn't concern me too much and why those happen, and we still have to count them. But taking those out of the day, Cam Ward was absolutely on fire. Did you want to talk about his completion percentage, 10 of 14, something we've been waiting to see, or get into any specific plays?
Yeah, and that includes a throwaway, right, on the 10 of 14, yeah, according to Nick Suss. So for those of you, as higher up beats mentioned in the chat earlier, like complaining or worried about completion percentage and accuracy, sounds like he was pretty accurate today. And to Nick Suss's point, this is only their fourth training camp practice. The majority of those first three, they were doing a lot of underneath stuff, right? So I think that's what, you know, Nick is referencing when you're talking about he's actually slinging the ball, pushing it down the field. It felt like real football started today. You know, and that's something that Robert Saleh has been alluding to the entire time. You know, once the pads come on, once the pads come on. I think it's very encouraging that it was mostly a positive day for the offense. Yeah, you could, you know, take away what you will from the defense. But I think we both expected, and we might have said this last week, that, you know, first couple of days in pads, new offensive system, usually you get some struggles there. A defense wins the day. Well, that didn't happen today, right? The offense won the day. And it wasn't just, you know, Cam Ward who was largely good, but it was all the quarterbacks, you know, Will Levis, Mitch Trubisky. They all made some plays. So by all accounts, a good day for the quarterbacks, for the offense. I took down a significant amount of I grabbed from Twitter guys like Teron Davenport, Easton Freeze, Terry McCormick, Nick Suss, who you mentioned, Paul Kuharski, like a bunch of great notes from practice. I tried to compile the most notable ones into a notepad, and I organized them because there was two team periods. So I've got a bunch of notable plays from the first team period and the second team period. And, you know, obviously then, you know, kind of filtering our analysis in with that.
Which brings us to our brand new segment featuring Justin Mello called Notable Notes.
Oh, dear Lord. That was terrible.
Alante Taylor is speaking now with his baby daughter at the podium.
I hope it's his baby daughter. I don't know whose daughter it is, but I hope it's his. That was not terrible.
Justin.
The notable notes was terrible, but Alante Taylor at the podium with his baby daughter. Sources unconfirmed that it's his baby daughter, but probably safe to assume. The first period, I would say, first notable play that hit the timeline, Calvin Ward is Cam Ward's dad. I don't think it was him. Cam Ward to Calvin Ridley. That's where I got tripped up there. Cam Ward to Calvin Ridley. 30 yards was described, some yards after catch. Really nice throw to Calvin Ridley. I think we needed that for Ridley as well, you know, who kind of missed portions of the offseason workouts and then comes back for camp and then has the food poisoning. Like, it's been a bit of an uneven offseason for Calvin Ridley. So really nice to see him make a huge play on one of the first plays of the padded practice. Cam Ward following that up with, I think, what was described as a zip on a rope, however you want to describe it, to Wan'Dale Robinson. I believe that one was across the middle. If memory serves me correctly, fit that one in between two defenders per the local beat. And it was Cedric Gray and Kevin Winston Jr. So your starting linebacker and your starting safety that were kind of caught in between Robinson there. Now we get to the first interception by Cam Ward. This one was, again, scramble drill, you know, rolling, I believe, to his right, I think it was said, thrown across his body. Sort of the similar, you know, he made a ton of those completions during the season. And you wanted me to note, and I'm glad you brought this up. Well, why was he scrambling? What was going on? It was a Femi Oladejo pressure after he beat, I think, J.C. Latham. So some good, some bad.
I think
bad.
A lot of people are forgetting about Femi.
Happy for Femi. Maybe not so happy because you don't want J.C. Latham to be giving up pressures there on the right side. But forces Cam out of the pocket, throws across his body. Terry McCormick also said it was Imani Hooker who did a good job sort of baiting him into this. And, I mean, it sounded like a pretty big return for Imani Hooker. I mean, I don't know how hard they're trying to tackle him on that, but sounds like it, you know, resulted in a pretty big return. Robert Saleh, who just spoke at the podium, I caught the first little bit before we went live, flat out called it a bad decision. You know, he didn't just get up there and excuse it and say, oh, it's practice and we're trying. No, he called it a bad decision. He called it a non-negotiable. He said that he made a bunch of those impressive throws during his rookie year, but, and I don't quite remember, but he basically said this one was distinctively different than those for one specific negative reason, and that's why you can't have it.
Yeah, and I think what I wanted to talk about with the interceptions here, I'm not going to try to excuse them. I do think there's definitely an element of Cam working the scramble drill with his receivers, two of them brand new guys, trying to get on the same page and understand what he wants, where he wants them to be. Should Cam not be throwing the ball back across his body in dangerous situations? Obviously, and you hope that when he's in a game situation, he recognizes the difference between today's interceptions and the big plays that he was able to make last year. But look, Cam Ward's growth isn't going to come from him making better plays in the scramble drill or him hitting these insane crossbody throws. His improvement's going to come from a better, more consistent down-to-down play in the structure of the offense, get the ball out quickly into the hands of his playmakers and just execute. And then when it's third and 10 with 8 minutes left in the game and you need a score, then you hope Cam can pull out this magic and make a big play happen. But I also think there is an element of this defense knows this quarterback better than any other defense in the league. They've been practicing against him for over a year now, and they know that he likes to make these type of plays. So when I read that Amani Hooker baited him into making this kind of a throw, I think it's, number one, it shows that the defense knows the quarterback they're playing against and knows that he's going to try to make these crossbody improvisational plays. And two, it's good for Cam to understand that everything you got away with as a rookie, now the rest of the league has film on you. And maybe these plays aren't always going to be there as much as they were in your rookie year. So it's important for him to understand why this one was picked off, why, you know, the touchdown to Alec Iyemanner against the Rams actually worked, and understand the difference and only make the plays that will be positive plays and don't make these, as Robert Saleh called it, a bad decision. Don't make these bad decisions going forward. But I think it is, like, it's tough to say that him throwing two interceptions in practice is a positive, but I am taking it as a positive here for his growth.
I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm not concerned whatsoever, but the reason I'm not going to overreact to this is I think there's always going to be a little bit of this to his game. You know, yeah. I don't think you can fully turn off the big play hunting personality that he has. You know, like, you want to limit them, and listen, it only becomes a conversation or concerning when the bad outweighs the good, right? Like, that's the level you can't reach. And I've compared him a couple times on here to Brett Favre. And, like, Brett Favre never cut that out of his game. Like, he was still right. doing it year 15, whatever year, with the Vikings after he's, like, I remember he had one in the playoffs with the Vikings that eliminated them. Yeah. Like, I think Cam's always going to do it occasionally. And you're just trying to, you know, ensure there's more good than bad. And you do your best to coach the majority of those mistakes out of him. But I think he's probably the type of quarterback where you're going to live with them just a little bit. Let's hit our first break. I've only got a few more notes from the first session, and then we'll move on to the second team period.
We'll be right back. You know that 6 p.m. moment where dinner's supposed to happen, but there's nothing in the fridge? That used to be every Tuesday of my life. But now, I keep the freezer stocked with Omaha steaks. Tender steaks, flavorful burgers, even seafood, chicken, sides, not just steak, all delivered right to my door. Arrives frozen and ready to go. Yes, frozen delivery can be that good with Omaha steaks. Because it's steakhouse quality without steakhouse prices. I grilled the ribeye burgers last weekend. They were beefy, juicy, and actually these burgers tasted like a steak. Because it is steak, ground from real cuts. If you've never tried Omaha Steaks, start with the Burger Perfection Flight. Comes with 20 premium steak burgers from 5 distinct cuts, including filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you can get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You've heard us talk about BetterHelp for the past month or so now, but I don't know that we've ever actually talked about how much people love this service when they use it. You can check it out yourself at betterhelp.com/reviews to see amazing customer reviews in real time. And these reviews are updated every day, with hundreds of people saying how much they love BetterHelp and how helpful it's been to them. Please visit betterhelp.com/reviews to see for yourself. BetterHelp has an average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5, based on over 1.7 million client session reviews. The feedback from people who have actually used the service speaks for itself. BetterHelp therapists have at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience. They also hold all required education, training, and certifications across a range of mental health specialties. BetterHelp makes it easy to get started. Just answer a few questions, get matched with a therapist based on your needs, and switch therapists at any time if it's not the right fit. See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com. Welcome back, audio audience. Justin, during the break, we listened to Carnell Tate. This is for the audio audience. The video audience knows this. During the break, we listened to Carnell Tate, a little bit of his press conference, talking about getting out there in pads, what he worked on this offseason, the way Cam Ward communicates, and it's really great stuff, which is just another reason that the audio audience needs to get their butts over to YouTube. Let's finish up first team notes, moving on to the second period. I think the way practice was structured is there were two big, long team periods, and all sets of players rotated in, first team, second team, third team, but we'll come back to second and third team stuff. Let's get to second team period, first team notes. What happened?
Love the jumping around. So when the second team period started, first play of it, Cam Ward hit Alec Iomanner, who of course is having a huge camp down the sideline during 11-on-11 team period. Very important, obviously. Kind of, simulates real football more than anything else. And of course, the pads are on now. After practice, Robert Saleh, when he spoke at the podium, had a lot of praise for Alec Iomanner, talking about he's done everything he could possibly do this offseason to put him in the positions that he's put himself in. And that was another big play from him. That one from Cam Ward. A lot of my second period notes feel like second stringers. So the only other one, I guess, well, there are a couple Cam Ward ones that we'll quickly mention.
Yeah.
His second interception. You talked that he threw two. Well, the second one came on what a lot of people are describing as a similar play, sort of scramble drill, rolling out of the pocket. This one, he's laid across the middle once again to Jermaine Johnson, the defensive end. Now, a lot of people are describing this one as similar, but Robert Saleh noted that Cam was trying to hit his check down on this one, and most of the time, he's going to have it. He's going to have the check down on this play. That was a really good job by Jermaine Johnson to kind of see it, bait it, undercut it. And even though Cam was late, it was to the check down. I will mention that I think it was Paul Kuharski who noted that he felt on both Ward interceptions, interestingly enough, their scramble drill, he was throwing somewhat deep, intermediate to deep. But PK felt like there was someone even deeper on both plays that were open in both instances. So I don't know if that's a case of him not seeing it or not trying to get too aggressive and trying to toe the line, but ironically kind of ends up paying for both of them. And they're both picked off.
Yeah. I had the same thought about, like, I wonder if he's trying to restrain his over aggressive nature there. But this is more learning opportunities and growth points for him, because they're going to go watch all this film together. And I bet you they're going to spend more time on the interceptions than any of the good plays, because, you know, same thing I said last week, you know, you don't learn anything from your success. You learn from your failure. And so they're going to go look at the failures and learn, like, and he's going to see, oh man, this is the time to be more aggressive and take that shot, because I had these guys open down the field. Instead, I threw it into traffic and I paid the price both times. So I think those are good. Those are good interceptions to throw, because they're good teaching points. It's not, and I said this all year last year, and I'll continue to say it throughout camp. As long as he's not throwing an interception where he's fooled by the coverage, or like he just doesn't see a linebacker or a nickel or somebody undercutting a throw, or something where he's literally not reading the defense correctly and just blind to a potential defender, I'll take the trying to make a play in a scramble situation, even if it's baited in by the throw. If his head coach is saying that's when you're usually going to have there to the check down on the second interception, like, I'll take those interceptions all day. I'll take those in a game. He's not going to go interceptionless this year, right? As long as the interceptions don't ruin you. And by all accounts, the offense, like, decidedly won the day today, despite him throwing two interceptions. Like you said, like, that might just be part of who he is. As long as he's making up for it with more good plays than bad, it's kind of, it is what it is.
And by all accounts, he bounced back pretty nicely from that interception, because just one or two plays later, once again, they called it a scramble, but he moved up the pocket instead of side to side to avoid the pressure, and he found Gunnar Helm across the middle. He threw what was described as a gorgeous jump ball to Carnell Tate at the pylon. It's too bad that he did not bring this in for a touchdown, because it was said that Alante Taylor came over and made a really good pass break up there at the pylon, that Carnell Tate was really close to bringing it down. On some of Ward's final plays, though, of practice, again, this is the second period, he continued bouncing back. There was a play, I don't know the sequence of these, but it would make sense, actually, that it went this way. Third and 15 from the 20-yard line. What does he do? He hits Calvin Ridley with what Easton Freeze described as a zinger, converting third and 15, get the ball inside the five. Apparently it was a really nice catch by Calvin Ridley, adjusted his body, some acrobatics to come down with it. Big chain mover on third and 15. And then there was a play action dot, it was described, to Wandale Robinson from Cam Ward, fitted into a tight window, really nice. So Cam almost had two touchdowns, because he almost had the Carnell Tate one, but he had zero. Then this one, that was the play-action dot to Wandale Robinson, it was said, yeah, seed, that Alante Taylor, once again, showing up again, made a goal-line tackle on Wandale Robinson, preventing this one from getting into the end zone. But by all accounts, that third and 15, beauty to Calvin Ridley, and then a play-action dot to Taylor. Really nice follow-ups. Three nice follow-ups, to include the Gunnar Helm one after, you know, the interception to Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you love to see, and I don't know how many times I've said that as well, that Cam Ward sometimes starts slow, but he always finishes strong, and that's, you know, the best trait you can have as a quarterback in the National Football League, because when you got to have it in the fourth quarter, that matters a lot more than whatever happens in the first quarter. Ideally, you'd love to not have to come back from any deficit, but even if you start slow, that doesn't mean you have to come back from a deficit. It just means you might have to turn it on at some point, get some points on the board. But overall, a great day for the first team offense. Two big learning moments for Cam Ward, but only four total incompletions, one of them a throwaway, and two of them interceptions. And then the other incompletion is the jump ball to Tate that's broken up by Taylor. Like, that's a pretty awesome day for your starting quarterback, even with two interceptions. A bunch of other guys stood out, though, too, Justin. Elik Iemanaar continues to absolutely dominate training camp. We didn't cover Saturday's practice because it was the weekend and we were both living our lives, but Iemanaar had another outstanding day on Saturday after, I think he's just had an outstanding day pretty much every practice so far. Our entire Friday show was mostly about how Elik Iemanaar is blossoming and set for a breakout season. He continued making plays and turning heads out there today. We can go deeper on him, and then we can go deeper on some other guys that were, you know, more second stringers right after our second break. Welcome back, audio audience. Justin, Elik Iemanaar continues to dominate. Did you have any specific notes you wanted to hit on him? Specific plays, touchdowns, DPIs, that kind of stuff? And then we can hit some other second string guys.
Well, for me, it's just, where does the camp hype end for Elik Iemanaar, and where does it lead to, in all honesty, right? Like, we've got people asking all types, and I'm going to get, like, once you get out of here, I'm going to stick around. I don't think Graver's going to be here for much longer, but I've got more notes
like
that I want to deliver.
Four or five more minutes here.
I'll handle a bunch by myself. I've got a bunch of notes. I want to talk about Saturday just a little bit, and I've got some, even the second string notes I might save for after you're gone. But we could end your session with, I don't know where this hype ends for Iemanaar, where it goes from here. Like, I don't think he's going to be wide receiver one, right? I don't think he's going to be wide receiver two. We've had some people, I'm going to put up some questions later, like asking some tough questions here. Is he wide receiver three? I mean, maybe, you know, he's probably the guy. I'm at the point now, and this is, you know, I'll admit, we're drastically singing a different tune than we were earlier. Like, yeah. Shimmer DK is wide receiver five. And I don't know if you knew where I was going with that, but it's like, it doesn't really sound all that close between a DK and an Iemanaar and Ridley. Like, this is Iemanaar versus Ridley. That's where we're at for wide receiver three. And, I mean, obviously they got a lot more invested in developing Iemanaar. He's a lot younger, two more years on a rookie deal. This is Calvin Ridley's final year in Tennessee. You know, because of the cap hit going up next year, they structured the restructure in a way where they know they're going to cut him next summer. So obviously they got a lot more invested in Iyo Manor. And I mean, Ridley had a couple big plays today as well, but certainly Iyo Manor's right there with him.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Iyo Manor took advantage of Ridley's little stomach bug to have more opportunities to make plays before the pads came on. Pads come on today. Iyo Manor's still getting reps with the ones. So is Ridley. Obviously, so are Tate and Wandale. I don't know who else exactly got reps with the ones at wide receiver, but we didn't see a lot of notes or any notes really about him targeting or completing passes to anybody else outside of like a check down option. Is that a running back? He hit Gunnar Helm. Obviously, we know Gunnar Helm's running with the first team. It sounds like there's four guys that are going to be like the main four receivers running with the first team. I'm sure Shimmer Adike as wide receiver five will have specific packages and plays where they want to get the ball in his hands to try to create. But for the most part, it's going to be Tate, Wandale, and then a mix of Ridley and Iyo Manor. And Ridley made plays today. I mean, the 3rd-and-15 conversion, the 30-plus yard catch and run, like those are huge plays. And the Titans are counting on Ridley to make those plays, but they don't need him to be an elite wide receiver one like they have needed him to be for the past 2 years, because now you have highly drafted rookie, you have $70 million Wandale Robinson, and you have a blossoming coming out, like breaking through in Elik Iyo Manor, who's making he is turning heads on a consistent basis. You're gonna get to the point where you can't keep him off the field because he just keeps making plays.
I'm with you, and as we said, like, you know, do they give it to Ridley to start off by default because he's the veteran and obviously a much more proven asset in this league? How much does the staff, that's the question, buy into it, right? Like, does he really have a shot to start the year in three receiver sets? Or is it going to go by default to these guys? You know, Ridley, again, being a veteran, Tate and Robinson, what they've got invested in. So it's going to be interesting to monitor. And does this carry over to the preseason for Iyo Manor? And joint practices coming up this weekend? I imagine it will.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I can't wait to see what happens. And I'll tell you one thing, Justin. I don't know if any of our audience plays fantasy best ball, like season-long best ball, where you basically just draft a team and then you never touch it and then you hope you get in the money at the end of the day. But I'm going to be drafting some 18th round Elik Iyo Manor, let me tell you, because not a lot of people are going to be doing that until, as long as the buzz stays Nashville and doesn't reach national levels, like that, he's going to be a guy that has a few games with 70 yards and a touchdown or 100 yards and maybe no touchdown. But he's going to have, I don't expect him to have that like very consistently, but 3 to 5 games this year where he's just like the lead dog of the game. Like, I fully expect this stuff to translate once the season starts in some way. It does make me wonder, how are these receiver like stats going to be divided? Are the Titans going to have the kind of volume to have a 1,000-yard receiver, to have, I don't think they're going to have 2,000-yard receivers, but is it going to be like 900 yards, 800 yards, 800 yards, 600 yards, 600 yards? Or is it going to be more concentrated into like the top guys? I guess that's all TBD, but I do think Iyo Manor is going to have a real role. He's earning it right now in camp. Sala praised him, as you mentioned earlier, talked about how much work he's put in, and you're seeing it come to fruition. So, look, we've spoken about Elik Iyo Manor, it feels like every day, because he keeps making plays every day, and we're going to keep doing that. I don't know how much more we can say now before anything real happens, but it's just great to see this guy really ascending into a legitimate starting caliber player.
And he'll get an opportunity to continue dominating. Titans have what? They're three more padded practices this week.
Yeah,
right?
Including Friday night's Nissan Stadium blue and white scrimmage. That's going to be where we really get our first chance to see like how this stuff is translating to a game environment, because although it's still a scrimmage against your own teammates, it's more structured to represent sort of like an actual game.
Right. And that was one of the most exciting practices they had all of last year at training camp. Keep in mind, Cam Ward lit that one up, if we recall correctly. And as of today, by the way, they're 10 days out from their first preseason game, right? San Francisco on the 13th in San Fran. And they're going to go down there before that, right? For their first joint practice. So it's full steam ahead. Like, you talk about, well, you guys are building momentum. Can they continue building momentum? They got three more padded practices this week. And then next weekend is their first preseason game. And there's a joint practice in between that. So there's going to be a lot of opportunities to kind of, you know, climb up and down the depth chart over these next 10 days.
Right. And Robert Saleh said the starters are going to play in the preseason. We don't know yet what that means in terms of, is that a series, a quarter, a half. We'll find out, but we will get to see them take the field in just 10 days, which is in the new uniforms, by the way, which is super exciting. I can't wait for it. All right, Justin, this stream has been going on for a good bit of time now. What's the time? 32 minutes. I was with you for 32 minutes. I'm sorry I can't give you more. I'm sorry I can't give the Audible audience more. Heed the call is calling, for lack of a better word, so I got to go get ready for a show that we're taping in 15 minutes. That doesn't give me a whole lot of time. But I did want to say quickly, I checked, and there are only 39 likes on this stream right now, despite well over 150 people being in the stream. And I just don't, that's just an unacceptable number of likes. So go ahead, if you're watching this now, and smash the like button. We appreciate you so much. Justin, I'm turning it over to you to close out this show. You know how to hit the thing now. When you know how to end the stream, so it's all on you. Good
That's
luck.
That's all I need. I might just play with the soundboard for the next 15 minutes. I might say nothing the whole time, but no. I've got, we've got, hold on, let me, there I got go. This one.
And
hold
Justin, on, actually, just a reminder, no. Don't forget to talk about the roster transactions if our audience cares for you to hit on those. So I'll leave that to you, and good luck. Thanks, Audible Army. Graver signing off. Mello will carry you the rest of the way. Bye-bye.
Keeping a book.
I gotta hit the thing for Walmart 99, who's testing me to see if I know what I'm doing. Five wide receivers time to run the oopty oop, says Walmart Man 31. Appreciate the super chat tip, Walmart. Really appreciate it. Hello and smash the thing, Dave. Yeah, hit all the things at once. I might hit all the things at once. Okay, so to start off, I do have some notes from Saturday's practice that I want to quickly get to. And then we're going to go back to today. So a little bit of jumping back and forth. But Saturday's practice was the last one without pads, the first one that was open to the fan base. What was very notable about that one that we didn't get to mention today is that J.C. Latham was a full participant. So he was back for Saturday and he practiced today. If you've been here the whole time, you know that. Because we mentioned it was Femi Oladejo who beat J.C. Latham for a pressure that led to Cam Ward's first interception of the two that he threw during Monday's practice. Cam Ward was sharp on Saturday by all accounts. The highlight of the day was a tight window throw to Wandale Robinson in front of about 1,300 fans, I believe, were in attendance on Saturday. Titans fans love to see that one. He also hit Gunnar Helm and Io Manor for some nice completions on Saturday. Some other notes that I took from Saturday. Jalen Harrell beat Brandon Crenshaw Dixon for a would-be sack. I continue to be concerned about the Titans swing tackle situation. You don't love seeing Crenshaw Dixon give up a sack to Jalen Harrell. Tajay Spears looked quite good at Saturday's practice. No surprise. Jaron Kanick, the rookie tight end out of Oklahoma, before today, the last two practice sessions, five catches combined for Jaron Kanick. So definitely something to note. Jumping back to today's practice, some notes that I took that Graver didn't allow me to read while he was here from the first period of team practice, because these were like second team and third team notes. Nicholas Singleton, the rookie running back, who Teron Davenport noted looked pretty good today. Some burst for his size, had a nice run, looks good out there. Well, one of the most important things for a rookie running back is ball security, and he had a fumble on a screen. You don't love that. I believe it was Solomon Thomas who chased it down. And then Micah Robinson, the fifth string corner, if you will, came out of nowhere to force a fumble on the screen. Don't love that. And now getting to the other rookie that we want to talk about in the first team was Pat Coogan. We just had a question in the chat from Angry Fetus about Pat Coogan. Continued to get early reps. That's what it was described as. But he had a couple of bad snaps. So if you're one of those folks that thinks Pat Coogan is making this a competition, I don't think so. I'm not buying into that at all. I think Austin Schlotman is very clearly your starting center. But nice to see that Pat Coogan continues to get worked into, the high up the pecking order. But by all accounts, he's not necessarily maximizing those opportunities. He's making a couple of mistakes that hurt him. James Williams had a tackle for loss on Tajay Spears during the first period. James Williams was described as quote-unquote everywhere during this practice. Remember, he had an interception a couple sessions ago, carried that momentum over into this session today with a couple of big plays. Another one I think we're going to mention. Final note I have from the first period of practice. Will Levis, couple of good completions to KJ Osborne and David Martin Robinson. DMR competing for that third tight end role. KJ competing for that sixth receiver role. You like to see both of those guys making plays from Will Levis. Now, getting to the second period, again, some notes that Graver didn't let me read when he was here. That's when James Williams was described as everywhere. Well, why? He batted down a Mitch Trubisky pass at the line of scrimmage. That was James Williams' second big play of practice. And then following that up for Trubisky, not the most positive note, right after he had that batted down, sounds like he had another pass batted down, except this one was by Solomon Thomas. And it was nearly picked off by Jordan Elliott at the line. Speaking of Solomon Thomas, I'm going to be sitting down with him. He's going to call me tomorrow after Titans practice. I'm really pumped about that. Solomon Thomas was a guy that I kind of earmarked that I would love to speak to. I'm told he's incredibly intelligent. He's played for Robert Saleh before. The Titans traded for him. He arguably knows this Robert Saleh defense better than anyone, which is why I submitted a request to speak with him. And I'm super excited that he'll be calling me after practice tomorrow. That will be coming to Titan-sized. I'll talk about it on here, my conversation with Solomon Thomas. Probably talk about it tomorrow, because it's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen right before we go live, is probably what's going to happen. Once I wrap up that interview with Thomas, we'll be on here live. You got to factor probably around, let me see. I can tell you right now. Yeah, maybe around 12:30 Central is probably when we'll go live. I'm going to be doing the Solomon Thomas interview right before that. So he made a big play today. Other notes from the second, I got to put this one up right now. If Solomon Thomas had access to the thing, you bet your bottom dollar I'd let him hit the thing. You kidding me? He'll definitely have access to the thing. There's no doubt about it. Great question, Atlas with three legs. Some of the other notes from this second period practice, the second team notes, it gets confusing for me, but Alec Iomanner, Graver alluded to this earlier, but I got away from it, drew a DPI on an overthrow. I believe the overthrow was from Mitch Trubisky, so this was firmly a second team thing, but he drew a DPI. Like, it's like he can't do no wrong, even on a ball that he has no chance to catch, he draws a DPI. Why? Because allegedly, he smoked Micah Robinson off the line of scrimmage, and Micah panicked and committed a DPI, even though he didn't have to, because the ball was totally uncatchable. That was the only other note that we had from the second team practice that we didn't get to answer, or we didn't get to put up. Folks, start getting your questions in, because I've started a few already that I'm going to answer. But as we wind this thing down, we've got some things that we want to hit here, at least that I want to hit. I started this one right here, from Roster Grids. Ridley is the only older wide receiver in the room. Even Wandale is just 25. Both parties work to keep him here. I don't think they're going to trade him, even if all the young guys look great. I agree with you, Roster Grids. You know, the Titans and Calvin Ridley's representation worked to restructure his contract in a manner that keeps him here in Tennessee for the 2026 season. I don't think they're in a rush to trade him whatsoever. In fact, hopefully they don't trade him at all. The only realistic outcome where I see them trading Calvin Ridley is if they start 0-4, 0-5, you know, and there's some interest in him near the deadline. We don't think that's going to happen, but I think Calvin Ridley is here to stay. We got another Jules. It comes from Walmart Man 31, 100 Jules, high five. We don't necessarily know what it means, but we're still going to hit the thing because a Jules donation thing. Cha-ching. Thank you so much, Walmart Man 31, for the 100 Jules donation. Justin, what do we hear about Lockie Tassie, the 6'6", 373-pound monster who played right guard for the Raiders last year. Ex-rugby players were playing on both offense and defense. So, good time for me to hit the transactions because they signed cornerback. Who was it? Derek Canteen, I believe his name was with Salah last year with the 49ers on the practice squad. They signed Lockie Tassie, as Caribbean mentions here. And they also signed Khalid Saunders, the veteran D-tackle, who I believe used to be with the Chiefs, and Mike Borgonzi. Had to make room. They cut three guys. Who did they cut? Undrafted corner Jaden Lucas, I believe, was among the cuts there. Safety, the one we joked about having a stock name the other day, was it Hudson Clark? He was only here for one practice. We hardly knew you. And then David Ebuka was the other release. Now, I want to note something on Lockie Tassie because you asked the question here, Caribbean. He's actually, as Roster Grids just mentioned, he's an international pathway exemption. So they cut David Ebuka, who was their IPP player, and they replace him with Lockie Tassie. That makes him firmly a developmental guy, right? Like if you're on the pathway program, you're not counting against a roster spot. They can keep him on the practice squad without counting against the roster. The fact that he is replacing the IPP and he's making a switch from O-line to D-line, I don't think we should probably expect a whole lot from him. I think I made a mistake. I said they cut Jaden Lucas. That was before for Khalid Saunders here as roster. It was, I'm just remembering, it was Cam Horsley they cut. It was D-tackle for D-tackle. I totally forgot up until now that he would have been Kansas City with Mike Borgonzi, so some familiarity there. Cornerback Derek Canteen, who got signed, is a bit more of a nickel designation. So you think they're unhappy with the state of their corners? They have signed three corners in the last week, right? Nazee Johnson, Mario Goodrich, and Derek Canteen. And they've cut three, right? Two UDFAs, I think Jaden Lucas and Latrell McCutcheon, and now they've cut Hudson Clark. So they've made a whole bunch of wholesale changes on the back end of the secondary. Strongly insinuates they haven't been very happy with the back end secondary play. So again, get your questions in now as we wind down the stream. Can you ball, though, asks, serious question, would you rather go 7-10 this year and miss the playoffs or 3-14 and have another crazy high pick? Let's say in both scenarios we show promise. This is an easy question for me, and I think everyone's agreeing. 7-10, they absolutely cannot go 3-14 for a third straight season. That would be full-blown disaster mode. I think you know, God forbid, but there might be questions about Cam Ward. They might be firing people again if they're like, absolutely not. They've had high picks 2 years in a row. I'm done. Top five pick. You got Cam Ward and Carnell Tate out of it. We don't need any more. I'm out. You can get an edge rusher at number 15. You can get a tackle at number 12. Whatever we think they're going to draft next year, it does not have to be at number one, number two, number three overall. Everyone in the comments appears to be on the same page as me. I am over the high picks. We got our quarterback out of it. We got a wide receiver out of it. No thank you. Give me 7-10. Miss the playoffs. But you're competitive if you're 7-10. You won seven games, and you probably lost a couple of close ones, right, if you're 7-10. So I am all the way out on 3-14. In fact, I could easily go a whole decade with ever, you know, seeing 3-14 again. Thank you very much. Folks, get your questions in. I don't know if there are any more that I want to hit here. Big Jeff and Solly might have to box over who gets Walter Payton Man of the Year. Good point, Roster Grids. Part of the reason why I'm so pumped to talk to Solomon Thomas tomorrow. He'll be making the phone call after Titans practices. The current plan, you know, hopefully that goes as scheduled. But yeah, pumped to talk to Solomon Thomas. Good point here by WalmartMan31. Worth mentioning, they are practicing against a much better defense than they were last year. Absolutely. You know, Cam Ward in his second year, but first year in the new system. Now he's getting guys like Alante Taylor, who made several plays today. Heck, Solomon Thomas made plays today. Jordan Elliott made plays today. You know, Cordell Flott's a new starting corner in this defense. Jermaine Johnson had an interception today. Definitely this defense is a lot better than it was, at least on paper, a year ago. So, who is a player you think hasn't been getting enough hype or attention? Wow, that's a really good question. I would probably go with James Williams, the linebacker. There's been, of course, they've talked about on the timeline, you know, how well he's doing at practice. But by all accounts, James Williams is working his way and competing. They've got a lot of linebackers. They like Mo Diabate and Dorian Mossy. Like, there's a couple guys they really like on the back end at linebacker there. But James Williams not going down without a fight. How long is JC's leash this year? I think it's pretty long. Daladev, 23-38. I think it'd have to be full-blown disaster for them to cut ties with JC. Or he'd have to get hurt again and be, you know, inconsistent. Like, I guess it'd have to be similar to last year. You know, there's an injury. There's some inconsistent play. He's sidelined for multiple games. They might already need a tackle next offseason if they, you know, the Dan Moore cap number rises and they want to draft a tackle. I mean, we're spitballing, but they got to have at least one of these tackles, hopefully still being a solution for 2027. And my money is on that probably being J.C. Latham. With the 2027 draft class projections, you can easily get a good tackle or edge while going 7-10. I agree, Angry Fetus. You know, obviously, you know, Dylan Stewart, Colin Simmons look like the early crop at edge. And then you've got Seton out of LSU is, you know, part of that early crop at tackle. Goosby, the Texas kid as well. All four of those guys, are they all top 10 picks? I don't know. You've got Jeremiah Smith. You've got a bunch of quarterbacks. Maybe you can even get one of those four players outside the top 10. This is one heck of a question from David Jenkins, and one that I've answered internally myself. Which would you prefer, Melo? Titans win a Super Bowl or Portugal wins the World Cup? Wow, I don't know that I could answer this. I'll put it this way. I'll take a cop out. These are by far the two things I want more than anything as a sporting fan. Is a Titans Super Bowl and a Portugal World Cup. I want both of those things more than I want a Toronto Maple Leafs Stanley Cup. That's how much I care about that, about those two things. So, great question though, David. One that I've answered internally many, many times. Haven't heard much about Mo Diabate. Not sure he's done anything notable. Well, I believe there have been reports that he has worked with the second team defense on occasion. So I do think that is fairly notable. D. Christofel, 9473 jokes. Jeremiah Smith, though, I feel you. Some team is going to get Jeremiah Smith and you're going to love that. But yes, we need a winning culture, winning tradition. And we took Carnell Tate, the better receiver out of Ohio State. No, all kidding aside, they took Carnell Tate, so they've addressed their need for a wide receiver. I love this one right here. If I can get to this comment, bear with me just a second here. You can even trade up next draft if you really want to. I agree. Like, hopefully you're starting to move into a phase of your franchise, of your team, where you could trade up, you know, maybe at some point. You're reaching that point of your franchise. I don't know where this is coming from. Johnny Lightning V10. I mean, he was 10 of 14. Yeah, he had the two interceptions, but they were across his body where he's just, they're at training camp practice trying to make a good play. Like, you got to read the other notes. He had a bunch of big completions to Calvin Ridley, really nice completion to Wandale Robinson, really nice completion to Alec Iomanner down the sideline. He almost had two would-be touchdowns. Carnell Tate had one at the pylon that got broken up by Alante Taylor, and Wandale Robinson was tackled at the goal line after a really nice completion, a play-action completion. So, no, he absolutely did not stink. That's just a terrible assessment from what you're reading at practice. How difficult is it to not be biased to the Titans in your SI gig? Good question, Enrique. If you're asking, I run NFL Draft on SI, Sports Illustrated Channel 4 SI. I mean, I don't find it difficult because I don't write about the Titans a lot for them. You know, once in a while, I'll include one of those players for draft. Like, when I'm doing, like, a rookie receivers has stood out, I don't think it's biased for me to include Carnell Tate in a piece like that. So, you know, but really good question, you know, certainly something I have to confront and encounter from time to time, but I'm a pro's pro at the end of the day. And I think I do a pretty good job, keeping the Titans bias out of my NFL Draft on SI gig. Gary Soto comes through with the $50 Super Chat tip. He says, what up, Mello? What up, Gary? You know what, Gary? I might hit more than one thing for you because Braver's not here to police it. And guess what? We have fun when it's just Mello. So let's hit the first one here.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh, my goodness gracious, Gary, with the $50. How about we hit at least
keeping
one more?
Keeping a buck right now.
Gary Soto's keeping it a buck with the $50 Super Chat. Let's hit them all because I'm learning which ones they
are.
Keeping
a buck.
Keeping it a buck. I call that V2.0 of keeping it a buck. And how about the fourth and final one for Gary Soto, who comes through after the 50-minute mark? You want to talk about coming through in the red zone? You want to talk about leading a game-winning drive? Gary Soto just did it with a $50 Super Chat tip.
You gotta hit the, you know, hit the thing.
I saved the best for last. You gotta hit the thing for Gary Soto. Gary, thank you so much for coming through with the $50 Super Chat tip. As Angry Thetis notes, we almost missed the Soto money. Thankfully, I'm on the stream. We knew from the beginning that I would be going longer than Graver. Here I am. Thank you so much, Gary, as always. Seriously, from the bottom of our hearts. Gaviscon says, screw them picks and chase Jahmyr Gibbs. Dump Love. I mean, listen, you can't imagine that the Lions would take Will Levis or any of our running backs. I mean, they're not going to trade Jahmyr Gibbs. They're going to get a deal done for him very, very soon. So, yeah. Oh, I remember you now, Johnny Lightning V10. You're the Will Levis guy. That's right. That's where this comes from. Got it. Now, Anthony Keys asks, where is Graver? Anthony, obviously, you're joining the stream. Graver and I did the first 35 minutes of the show, so go back and watch them. And then he had to jump to go record Heed the Call with Dan and Mark. I didn't want to end the stream at 35 minutes. I had more practice notes to get to. I had a lot of questions we wanted to start and ask. So I decided to stick around and do the second half of the stream without Graver. And I'm glad I did because I'm having a bunch of fun with you guys. I'm with you, Gary Soto. Graver is a party pooper. Luckily, I'm here to breathe life into the second half of the stream. Walmart Man 3031, any advice on how to convince my wife to let me buy a signed Carnell Tate helmet? Well, you could, you know when Graver shakes his head and I say, do what you gotta do to be here for the stream. Leave your wives, call in sick to work. Do what you gotta do, Walmart Man, to get yourself a Carnell Tate autographed helmet. Let's just say, make sure you put that in the divorce. If you guys do break up, you get the Carnell Tate signed helmet. No one else gets the car. Mello hit all the buttons. I mean, that's essentially what I did, but why don't we hit one more? Because as I like to say, you know who pressured Cam Ward today into throwing the first interception? He rolled out of the pocket. Who had the pressure?
A lot of people are forgetting about Femi.
It was Femi Oladejo who had the pressure that forced Cam Ward out of the pocket, throwing against his body. Mello is like a player who's playing on a team he didn't grow up a fan of. So you're actually, you know what? Yeah, I mean, in a way, yes, because I grew up a fan of the Titans. I've got my Titans game, and obviously I love the NFL draft. I'm infatuated with the NFL draft. I enjoy writing about the NFL draft more than I enjoy anything. That's why I took the NFL draft on SI Gig, and I really, really enjoy, and by the way, the NFL, like, people are loving the NFL draft on SI Gig. If you haven't had a chance to read it, please head over to it. You can find the link on my Twitter. The NFL draft on SI Gig is absolutely crushing today as we get into August. So appreciate everyone showing me support there. Yes, Gary, you were late to the chat, but you came through, and it was another big day for Elik Iomanner. Absolutely caught a pass from Cam Ward on 11-on-11 down the sideline. Smoked Micah Robinson off the line of scrimmage at one point. Drew a DPI on the play. After practice, Robert Saleh talking about how impressive Iomanner has been this offseason, doing what he's needed to do, showing up in great shape, diving into the playbook. We've reached a point where he's officially pushing Calvin Ridley, at least in our minds, pushing Calvin Ridley for the wide receiver 3 role. So really pumped about how Elik Iomanner has performed at practice. Ladies and gentlemen, here's maybe the final question. You guys want to get him in? Get him in now. I could be convinced to stick around for a few more, but only if there are some good questions. And Angry Fetus asks,
What's the TD to, I mean, I don't have this at my disposal for Levis all of camp. There were some crazy picks he threw at OTAs. I don't think we're, you asked camp, but there were some picks at OTAs. Seems like he's dialed it down a bit here. I think at, remember he had one to Sanusi Kane early in camp, and they cut Sanusi Kane the next day. But other than that, it's been a you know, Will Levis, he's looked, you know, spoke at the podium. You know, by all accounts, good for him. He's, you know, looking good, sounding good, and hopefully creating some trade interest in him around the league. This is a wild, wild prediction from Johnny Lightning. Will Levis starts with, I mean, barring injury, there is literally a 0%. He's not even the second quarterback, Johnny Lightning. It's Mitch Trubisky, who's quarterback too. So unless all the quarterbacks get hurt, Will Levis is not starting games for the Titans this year. Are you in any NFL? I am, Gary. I'm in two NFL fantasy leagues. I've got one with my high school buddies that, God, it's been running for like, geez, for maybe close to a decade now. We don't do a keeper league. I love that fantasy league. All my high school friends, great way for us to keep in touch. We have a group chat for the fantasy league. And in fact, the way I revealed the draft order last year, I'm the commissioner of the league. I paid for a cameo from... who's the NFL insider? Oh, Lord, it's on the tip of my tongue. I can't believe it escapes me now. The new age insider, Jordan. Is it Jordan something? I feel like an idiot now, but I paid for a cameo from him to him to release the draft order. Really enjoyed that one. That's my main fantasy league, Gary. But yeah, I love playing fantasy football. I'm a big one. Walmart man responds to that, says, we need an Audible Army League. Stay tuned. Perhaps that'll be one of the perks of the Discord. Yes, Hayden Feldler, Fiedler. I remembered now. Hayden Fiedler. Jordan Schultz. That's who I paid for. I paid for a cameo for Jordan Schultz to unveil our draft order, and it was hilarious. I absolutely loved it. Fun question here. Totally unrelated to the Titans, but as the resident Canadian soccer fan, were you aware of the Mississauga Metro Stars when they tried? I was not, Sterles. No, I'm not familiar. I live 30 minutes from Mississauga. I'm very close to Mississauga, but I'm not familiar with the Mississauga Metro Stars. Very interesting. I think that's going to do it. I believe I addressed all the questions I wanted to get to here from the chat. We went over an hour. Look at that. Even though Graver left, we kept the stream going for an hour. Okay, hold on. One more good question here. Maybe one more. How much trust do you have in our O-line? Asked Shizzy71. Listen, I love Peter Skoronski. I'm excited about J.C. Latham. I think Dan Moore is league average. I don't think Austin Schlotman's going to be a problem. I'm worried about right guard. I'm especially worried about right guard. And other things can go wrong. Certainly at left tackle, at right tackle, you know, center, there are questions at all those spots. But right guard is probably the spot that I'm most concerned with as we wait for, you know, Cordell Volson or Jackson Slater to place a stranglehold, if you will, on the starting job. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Music City Audible Podcast. We appreciate you guys so much. Still 171 of you in here. Unbelievable support from the Audible Army. Wait till the stream ends. Oh, we will leave a comment below. Share it with a friend. Please wait for the stream ends. It helps us a lot. Like the stream if you haven't. If Graver was here, he'd be yelling at you about how many likes are in the stream. Like the stream, wait for it, and then drop your comment. That helps us get it to the algorithm. We'll be back tomorrow with another supersized stream right after Titans training camp practice. So we'll be back tomorrow, their second padded practice of training camp. We'll have all the newts, notes, analysis, answering questions you want. Appreciate you guys so, so much. Until tomorrow, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.